Once again, we are appreciative of the presence of each and every one of you here this evening, that you have seen fit to come back and to be with us as we study a portion of God's Word. And we think that, and we hope, and we pray that the things that are said this evening will be beneficial for everyone that is here, that we will go away edified by a teaching of the Word of God, that we will be prepared to face the day tomorrow and the temptations that might arise, and that we'll know a little bit more about the Word of God and how He is what would expect us to act in this world that He's given to us. For the time that we have together this evening, we want to spend a little time talking about teaching that is found and should be found in the home. I think all of us as parents have a great deal of concern about teaching our children. And when we're talking about this, we're speaking of spiritual teaching, training in the Word of God. We're not necessarily talking about secular education, only as that would touch what we should teach them concerning the Word of God. That is the responsibility that I believe God has placed on everyone who is a mother and a father in the home. They have that responsibility. And as Christians, as children of God, one of the things that we would want from our own children is that they grow up to be faithful servants of God. That is one of the things I believe that is foremost in our minds. But in general, as we look at the church today, I am afraid that in some cases there has been a failure on the part of parents in this particular area. And just as we can go back to the book of Judges and read there in the first and second chapter, where concerning the children of Israel it said that there was a generation that grew up that did not know God, I'm afraid in some instances we are having children growing up, quote, in the church, who do not know the Word of God. They know God, but they are not acquainted as well with the Word of God as they should be. This is due, again, for perhaps a variety of reasons. The society in which we live, the demand upon our own times as mothers and fathers, the temptations that arise as we go through our day-to-day walks of life. And maybe this is one of the reasons that we have the schools and the government feeling the need that they have to teach their children or our children certain things, that they have to teach our children about home and about the family life and what that should consist of, why they feel this need, that they have to instill within our children certain sets of values that they believe or they deem to be important. Maybe this, again, is why they feel like they must teach the children in our society about sex and many other things, as we can see. But again, I am firmly convinced that from the Word of God, we have that responsibility given to fathers and to mothers to teach their children the ways of righteousness in all areas, whatever that might be. We live in a society which seems to want to buy everything that it needs. We have conveniences, and this is a great convenience for us, to be able to buy something now and pay a little bit along the way. And it would be wonderful that if we could do that with discipline and with instructions for our children. Just simply go to the store and buy them something and hand it to them and say, here is discipline, here is instruction, here is the way that God wants you to be. But it is not that way. We as parents are going to have to spend time in instructing our children in the ways of righteousness. There is no such product that can be manufactured except from the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, it says there, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And this is what God wants of us. He wants us to train the next generation that is coming along in this way of righteousness so that they also will be faithful and they also then in turn can teach the next generation. One of the things we have to realize concerning the Bible, and I'm very convinced of this, that it is a child-rearing manual. Now, there's a lot of things contained in the Bible. It covers history. It covers prophecy. It covers day-to-day life, relationships one with the other. But it also covers the relationship that exists between parents and children. Children are not all alike. Training is not always going to be easy. We all recognize that as parents. But the Bible has been given so that it is the Word of God, and it will, in any society, give us the principles, give us the ways of righteousness in raising our children in the right and in the proper way. As children are young, and they are young for perhaps several years, we might say, parents have time at that particular point to add to their learning things that they are going to need to raise their children in the proper way. And raising children is work. It involves effort. It involves the use of discipline, of instruction. It involves the use of thinking, of using the gray matter that God has given unto us to apply the things that are found in His Word. This is what God would have us to do. You know, when we bring children into the world, advice comes from every corner, doesn't it? Everybody has advice for us on what to do for raising our children. But the best advice, if we can use that term, comes from God's Word. This book that we have here before us never varies in its approach to raising children. We can apply the principles here in any society, at any time, in any generation. God has so equipped His Word for that, and we need to use it in that way. Parents have to work hard to develop the skills that they need in raising their children so that those skills will be in harmony with the Word of God. In the book of Proverbs, and we'll be turning to that quite often this evening, one of my favorite books that's found in the Bible, for there's so much wisdom there, so much practical application in our day-to-day living. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, it says there, "Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him." In the 19th chapter of that same book, and verse 13, the proverb says, "A foolish son is the ruin of his father." And in the 29th chapter, in verse 17, we have the writer making this statement: "Correct your son, and he will give you rest. Yes, he will give delight to your soul." When we look at verses such as this, one of the things that we recognize is that correction is needed. Now, as intelligent as this generation is that is coming along, there is still, as the proverb has said, foolishness bound up in the heart. Now, we're not talking about foolishness in the sense that they have no learning, no education whatsoever. But foolishness in the sense that they do not have the experience in life that is needed for them to make the proper decision. And they need instruction in that. As wise as this generation is coming along, and some of us look at our children and we think they know more now, than I did when I was twice their age. And that may be true. They may have the knowledge in secular education that we did not get till many years later in our life. But one of the things we have to recognize is that they are still children. They still have great many things to learn in this life. And we as parents have the responsibility to impart that knowledge and that experience and that training and discipline unto them. We need to gather all the wisdom that we can from the Old Testament and from the New Testament in teaching our children. Although the Old Testament was written for the children of Israel, and we are not under that, we can still find a great many things to do in bringing children up right in this world in which we live. The responsibility of raising children is that of the father and of the mother. It always has been. It is now. And it always will be until this book changes. Until the Word of God changes, that is our responsibility. One of the things that we note from the book of Proverbs is simply this: that discipline produces righteousness. Now, in the sense of talking about discipline, we want to clarify what we're talking about there. As we did in our class on discipline not too long ago on Monday night. Discipline includes not just correcting when things are wrong, but instructing, in teaching, and in training. And this is something that children need. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Again, the writer of the book of that particular proverb says here, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." A child left to themselves, that is, given the option of doing whatever they want to do, of more or less raising themselves, and I'm afraid we've got a generation almost of children that have done that. It says there that they bring shame to their mother. In the 22nd chapter, in verse 6, we have this from the proverbist. He says there, "Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it." We have the two extremes here, don't we? We have a child left to themselves. What is the end result of that child? That child is that they will be ashamed to their mother and to their father in the way that they act, because they have not been instructed. They have not been trained in the way of righteousness. Whereas in the opposite end of the scale, we find one who has been trained up in the way that he should go. And I am sure the proverbist has in mind here the way of righteousness, the way of God, the way he should go. And it says there, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now we understand this to be a general axiom. This is something that is in general true. That it's not an infallible rule. But a child who is trained in the way that he should go, or she should go, is always going to retain that training. They may rebel against it, but they will know what they should to be acceptable in the sight of God. This shows unto us that there is a difference between the trained child and the untrained child. One brings shame, one will always follow that way of righteousness. Discipline is something that is not easy, but it is well worth the efforts that godly parents will put into this. Though many people object, we find that God has always recommended chastening of children. In our day and age, this is something that is frowned upon. In our day and age, you can be arrested for it, sometimes if you do it in public. That's how it is frowned upon today. But God has never frowned upon it. In Proverbs 13 and 24, we've read some already. Proverbs 13 and 24 says there, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Read that first one again, that first phrase. "He who spares his rod hates his son." Now, we've got that flipped around backwards, haven't we, in our society today. If you love your children, you won't hit them. You won't discipline them. You won't do anything to correct them. You will let them do what you want to, what they want to. The Word of God says exactly the opposite of that. If you don't discipline them, then you hate them. We always, I guess, as human beings, get everything kind of upside down when we want to rely upon our own wisdom rather than turning to the Word of God. In the 19th chapter, verse 18, Proverbs says there, "Chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." I believe in this we have the limits upon discipline here. Don't set your heart upon his destruction. Don't go about breaking him or her or punishing them in such a way that you do hurt them and break them. But you are to chasten them while there is hope. While there is still time that they can learn something, that is the time you chasten them. That is the time that you discipline them. In the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, in verses 13 and 14, "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." You know, the modernists today would say, well, that's wrong. You beat a child with a rod, you certainly can kill him. But the proverbist has here in mind the correction that comes from a loving and a godly parent, not one that is trying to be abusive to his or her child. There is the correction that needs to be done. And he says, withhold not correction from a child. I'm convinced that this is advice that has always been needed and always will be heeded by godly parents. Now, despite the philosophies that have gone around the last 30 years, this is what God would have us to do. And as we can see the result of the philosophies that have been around for the last generation, it has brought a great deal of shame to this nation in which we live. And as we go to the New Testament, we find the same advice given by the Word of God. In Hebrews, again, chapter 12 and verses 5 through 11, it talks about the same thing as God chastening us, and also, or God chastens His children as we ought to chasten our children. Corrective discipline is something that is needed, of course, but discipline with love. Now, it is very apparent in our society that some parents are abusive to their children. That cannot be denied. That's not what God is talking about here in chastening our children. He's not talking about being abusive. He's talking about doing it with love. Not the love that the world has, but the love that is demonstrated in God toward us, in that He wants to see the best for us. He wants to correct us when we are wrong and make sure that we are following His pathway of righteousness. Children must learn. In our society, according to the Word of God, they must learn to submit to their parents. And I'm afraid that in our society today, we have a lot of children who do not do that. They are not submissive to their parents. They are not in subjection to their parents. And it almost seems that it's the other way around, that parents are in submission to their children. They are in subjection to them. And it seems that there's no discipline in the home at all. When there is no discipline in the home, this is going to be something that is mirrored in society, that there will be no discipline there also. Children need to realize that they're not the head of the family, that the father is, but that they are a loved and welcomed member of the family. Children need instruction. They need instruction from the Word of God. As youth, they need guidance. They don't know what might be the right course for them to take, what would be the wise thing for them to do, or what would be the unwise thing for them to do. But the Bible sets forth the principles of righteousness. And in following them and in being taught those, then they can make the right choice. They can follow the right path. And if it's learned early, then it's something, as the proverb has said, that will stay with them all of their life. Again, they may rebel against it, but they'll know what God would have them to do. They need time also from their parents. If parents do not spend time with their children, then those children cannot receive instruction. They cannot receive proper instruction from the parents. Parents don't want their children many times to repeat the same mistakes that they have made. I'm sure as we as parents would think about it for a few moments, the mistakes that we made, we don't want our children to do those. We don't want them to repeat those things that we've done that's wrong. We want to teach them and instruct them from the Word of God. This is something that they need. They need an example before them also. A child needs the proper pattern in life. And how we are as parents, what we do as parents, we'll go an awful long way as to how they turn out. The example in the New Testament, as we find, is one of Timothy. An example of a great deal of success, of someone who grew up the right way. In Acts 16 and 1, we find our introduction to Timothy there. And it says there that his mother was a Jew, but his father was a Greek. Now, we might think from that kind of background, there was not too much hope for Timothy. But we find concerning his mother and his grandmother that they taught him the Scripture. even from a child. 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3:15 says, they taught him from a child the word of God. I'm sure it was not easy for them, but it was something that they succeeded at. We could go on with other examples of the Old Testament, of Noah and Abraham, of Joseph and Moses, and Daniel, of all these examples that we have. Well, we want to consider in the few moments that we have left, what is it that children should be taught? What is it that they need to know, the primary lessons from God's Word? What do they need to know that will stay with them, that will be a foundation for them for the remainder of their life? Children need to be taught about God, that God is, He exists, that He protects us, that He provides for us, that He loves us, that not He just didn't love us at one time to give His only Son, but He continues that love upon us, that He guides us, that He guides us through His Word. Children need to know that. They need to understand that from the Word of God. This is a foundation that we can then begin to build on with other things that are found in the Bible. Children are going to be taught evolution. We don't have to worry about that. They're going to be taught that there is no God. They're going to be bombarded with this in school and with the television and with many other avenues into their mind. We need to impress upon them that God is. God exists. He cares. They're going to get all this other evolutionary stuff taught to them anyway. Our children are going to be exposed to them. We don't need to teach them about that. We need to teach them what the Word of God says. This is something that needs to be instilled within them at a very early age. They need to be taught also that the Bible is the Word of God. That is not just simply a book of fables. That it's not a bunch of myths that have been gathered together over the years. That it's not just a collection of allegories or stories. And the miracles that we read in the Bible, they're real. Children need to know this. They don't need to be taught that some stories are true and some stories are false. Some are allegories to teach good lessons. Children need to understand that this is the Word of God. Because if their faith begins to be shaken in the Word of God, then that child is going to be set adrift. And he or she is going to begin to reach for something to believe in. And if it's not the Word of God, then it's going to be something. They need to have a faith in the Word of God. They need to be taught that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Again, in society, they're going to hear that he was just an ordinary man. Or maybe just an extraordinary teacher. Maybe even a prophet of God. But they need to understand he is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh who loved us and came here and lived a perfect life so that he could die and be the sacrifice to save us from our sins. That's what they need to know. They need to be taught that. That he had the power to perform miracles, and he did those things that were good. And as Paul said, he went about teaching and doing that which was good. Children need to know about Jesus Christ, that he died for our sins, that he was raised by the power of God, that he would never die again, that he ascended into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God now, having all power and all authority. Children need to be taught this from the very earliest of ages. I believe there's another thing that children need to learn. Very, very important for them. And a child needs his or her faith. Their own faith. So many times, children go through life living on the faith of their parents. They do everything that is right. They go through the motions because this is what they're supposed to do. And then when they get out on their own, they don't have any faith whatsoever to support them. and they slowly, a little bit at a time, begin to drift away from the Word of God. Children need to have their own faith. They need that to be instilled within them and not live off the faith of their parents or their grandparents. Again, we have found too many that have left the church when they have gotten out on their own, and it has become so apparent that what they lived on was the beliefs that were found in their parents. Children need to be taught about the church also, that it belongs unto Jesus Christ, that there's only one. There's only one body, and that makes up those individuals that are saved. That this is something that is exclusive. Regardless of what they'll hear in the denominational world by their friends, that there are many churches, they need to understand the Word of God teaches that there is but one. And they need to know also the conditions of entrance into that church. They need to understand what it is that they have to do in order to enter that church, what it takes. They need to know the commands of God, and they need to know how to teach that to others also. One of the things we've heard recently is the woeful lack of knowledge in those who are children of God. They can't even tell others what they must do in order to be saved. Children need to know that. They need to know God's plan of salvation. And again, this is things that need to be taught in the home. Children need to know these things. You know, we teach our children how to play ball, whatever sport it might be. We teach them in school if they need any help. We teach them how to fish and how to hunt, how to have a good time, one thing and then the other. We need to teach them the Word of God also, because that's something that's going to stay with them forever. They need to know about the organization of the church and how it works. They need also to know about standards, those standards that they are to follow. They are taught the standards of the world. They hear them all the time from their friends, from people in the world, from movie stars of one shade or another, from one conviction to another. They hear this all the time. They're taught situation ethics in school, openly or in disguise in some other way. They're taught these things. But they must also be taught that there is only one standard of conduct that they're going to be judged by, and that's the Word of God. This is what they need to know. They need to know what is right and what is wrong. And as they grow older, they need to understand, if they possibly can, why certain things are right and why they are wrong. Because if we as parents can help to instill within them this anchor in God's Word, in God's standard, then we recognize that it's going to be something that will never change. They'll live with that. Philosophies and standards of men change with the generations that come along. But the Word of God is something that abides forever. They need to be taught about marriage also, and preparation for marriage, and what God's law is on that. That God intended from the very beginning for there to be one man and one woman. That's what marriage consisted of. And He expected that to be a life for a lifetime. And that there is only one reason for divorce while both mates are still alive, and that is the exception of adultery on the part of one individual or the other, and that only gives the freedom to marry to that individual who is innocent. They need to recognize that the wedding is not an end of something, but rather just the very beginning of this relationship. Again, something that I believe that is very important in here is that so many times children or teenagers or whoever it might be, as they're about to get married, that they are concerned about marrying the right person. And I understand what that means, what is implied in that. They're worried about marrying the right boy or girl, man or woman. But I think we also need to be worried about or be concerned about not necessarily marrying the right person, but they themselves being the right person. That's where it needs to start with. That's where it needs to begin in the marriage relationship. Also, another key point in this I believe is that in the home relationship, and that is children are raised eventually to be separated from their parents, to go out on their own and begin a home, begin a life, we might say, of their own. They need to be taught that. Husband and wife are together for life. That relationship and that love should cause them to grow closer and closer together. It's opposite, almost the opposite with that with children. They are raised and they are taught to the end of being separated from that home and starting one of their own. And I believe when that's taught and that's understood, a lot of problems are cut off in the long run. They need to be taught how to be parents. And one of the best ways they can be taught is by being shown how to be a good parent, how to be a good father or a good mother. They need to be taught also about sex and about the relationship between men and women. Our government wants to do that for us. It's not their responsibility. That's our responsibility. We need to know what the Bible teaches on that. And I'm convinced when we teach our children all the Bible, we're going to teach them about that very important relationship between men and women. We're going to learn what Christ teaches on marriage and divorce. We're going to learn about immorality. They're going to know what it is and how they are to be pure and chaste in this relationship. This is what they need to learn. They have a right to know this. God expects it of us as parents, as fathers and mothers. There's many other things that we could go into at this particular time on that it would be very important for our children to know. How to resist temptation. A lot of times they don't know that. We understand what temptation is. As older and supposedly wiser and more experienced, we understand what temptation is, and we need to teach our children how to resist temptation. What's wrong with yielding with temptation? They need to be taught responsibility in the home, in the community, and especially in the church. God's Word deals with a variety of subjects. It will make us complete, thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. We don't need anything else. It covers every aspect of life. It is, as we said in the beginning, a child-rearing manual, if we will just follow it. God has equipped it so that it would be. I am afraid that there's a failure on the part of some parents to teach their children what they need to know. It is a lack of responsibility on the part of the parents, a failure in that responsibility. And then when the children grow up not knowing anything, then the parents must bear some of the blame. And again, as I go back to Judges, and I read there that there was a generation that grew up that did not know God, I am led to the conclusion that it's not just that generation's fault, that it also was the previous generation, because they did not teach, they did not instill the Word of God in their children. I believe I'm safe in saying that we as parents would like the next generation of Christians to be even stronger than we are, to know more about the Word of God, to be stronger spiritually, to take a stand for what is right. We want them to be better. We want them to be stronger spiritually. Well, the only way that that is going to be accomplished is by, in our part, is teaching them the Word of God. It takes training in the home, which is going to take time. It's going to take effort on our part. Our times and our energies in our society today are eaten up by so many different things. Our jobs, things that come along, one thing and then the other, school, things that really are not bad in and of themselves. But when it comes down to it, we may find that we have no time left over to raise our children as we ought. Let us determine that we are going to devote the needed time to them and for them to raise them in the right way. After all, this is not a responsibility we simply take upon ourselves. It's not an option that we have. It is one that God has given to us. And we're going to have to stand before him and give an account if we fail in that responsibility. Children have a right to know what God expects of them. And we have a responsibility in that. Let us make sure that we're going to do it. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, the Word of God tells you, and we can go, as we said this morning, and give book, chapter, and verse, that you must have faith, that you must repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ, that you must believe, again have faith, and that in having that faith, you are to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Children need to know that. They need to know that. And when they become of accountable age, when they understand all of these things, then as all of us, they need to respond to that invitation. This is what God wants us. In exchange for our obedience, he has promised us eternal life. He has promised us blessings beyond, we might say, our wildest imagination, to be at home with him throughout all eternity. This is what God has promised, and he's not going to be slack. He's not going to go back on those promises. He's going to keep them. God has promised this to those who are faithful. If you're here this evening and need to respond to the invitation of Christ, song has been selected, and won't you come as we stand and as we sing?